Welcome back, everyone. Going into week 26, hour 3 here of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's up?
So we fade back in on a like beautiful cathedral of glass and steel, we get the subtitle at the bottom, the House of Light Eternal, Cabral, and so it kind of like pans up this like long stairway up to the cathedral itself, and we fade into the inside, and inside it's like a house of worship. There's like a long carpet and pews on either side. It's huge, it's empty, save for two people sitting in a pew near the front, up by a massive cruciform. There's no Jesus on it; it's just a big cross. And sitting in the pew are General Odette Reynier and Prosper Trudeau. So, you know, Prosper, that this place is basically like the St. Peter's Basilica of the religion that follows Le Fantôme, right? It's the house of God. To have it all to herself, to have a conversation with you, probably required resources more than even General Reynier has.
Hmm. So this is like a huge tourist destination, and she cleared it out, basically.
Yeah, it's both a big tourist destination, but also
and a big
like,
religious destination.
Yeah, a serious religious.
Yeah. Yep. Cool.
So the two of you are sitting. She's wearing her uniform, were you here first, and she's just walking up, or the other way around?
Well, I guess she sent for me, so. I think she was there.
They brought you here. Okay, so you're walking up towards her.
Yeah.
And, I think she stands up and turns and sees you.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, gives a little, like, half smile.
Yeah, the smirk.
Half smile.
Yeah.
Never.
You know, I smile, and then I stop, and I do the Cabralese salute, whatever that looks like.
Sure, yeah. She salutes. And what's your rank again?
Let me look at my character sheet. Where's Prosper? he's a lieutenant.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what she says. And again, this whole conversation is in French with subtitles, which she says,
yep.
Hello, lieutenant.
Hello, general.
Welcome home. You've seen your family?
Yes. Thank you.
Good.
I did not expect to, but yes.
She kind of like looks at you, Kaka, like, why not?
Oh. Robert was not enthusiastic about me taking on the mission. It took me far from Cabral into dangerous circumstances for an unknown period of time.
Yes, dangerous circumstances. That's a good way of putting it. You've been very busy.
It seems like I have, yes.
I wanted to take some time to debrief you, to discuss what you've been doing, to hear about your experiences with L'Enfant, but...
You've chosen a magnificent venue for it.
Yes, I did not choose the venue. Nor, I'm afraid, will we have the time to have this conversation, Prosper.
Hmm. Tell me more.
You received a message some time ago. A call.
Yes. Home. Yes, I received your email.
She shakes her head. No, not mine. Hers.
Hers who?
She looks at you like, for real?
Forgive me, I... La Fantôme.
Are you afraid?
No.
Good. That is good. I'm to take you to her.
Now?
Oui.
Do you know why she has contacted me?
I do not know why she does anything, Prosper.
I understand that feeling very well. Very well indeed, General. Very well.
So she I guess she never even really sat down. She just kind of like takes you to another part of the cathedral. Like you leave, you go through a side door and follow a like a stone hallway to a circular room with a platform in the middle. And she gestures and says, "Bonne chance, Prosper. Say hello for me. Put in a good word."
Of course. Thank you.
Whatever happens, if I ever see you again, it does not matter. People will know your name. This is a great honor.
Yes, it is.
Well, I will leave you to it.
And, thank you.
Yeah, she turns, and you can see that she's a little choked up.
Hmm.
But you can't tell if it's because she's worried for you or if she's, like, envious.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's just like, fuck! Like, I want this so bad. But also a little like, oh, thank God it's not me. You know?
Mm-hmm. Is there, like, some sort of, like, common benediction from the Order of the Annunciation?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's got to be something. So,
probably.
You know, I say, Madame Rainier, you know, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she looks over her shoulder and she's like, "Watch that first step." And I think that when she says that, the platform that you're standing on goes like, and like drops slightly and then starts to like lower.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. So we follow Prosper down into the dark. All that you have are like occasional sort of like bluish lights on the inside of this tunnel that you're descending into. And at the bottom of the tunnel, there's a door limned in that same light.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel down here a familiar, like, hum. Like, there's just something, like, vibrating that feels like... And you have a moment of, like, deja vu or nostalgia for the core of the swan song. Like, something mm-hmm. you're, like... Something, like, feels like it vibrates your body in an unusual way that you're familiar with. And you hear the door click and slide open. And there's a short hallway ahead of you.
Yeah, I go forwards. I walk into it.
Okay, so you walk down this hallway and come out into a large spherical room. It's like unquestionably similar to the room that the Warmind was in.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of the massive like nanite sphere in the middle, there's just a long hallway that leads out to a metal and stone like chair, and the inside of the sphere. Is like
shit's
glittering,
powered.
Glittering with, glittering with like light, like there's electricity and light like moving around. And the chair itself, the like throne, has like wires and cabling running off of the back of it down into the floor, and they go out into the sort of sphere itself.
Yeah. I guess I look around and I. Like, I don't see anything other than this chair, basically.
Yeah, but it's the back of the chair, so you don't see
okay.
Who's in it.
Yeah, got it. I guess I step in, and, like, there's a moment of hesitation before anything happens, and then Prosper says, "Hello?"
Okay. A woman's voice, like an obviously synthetic woman's voice, but not synthetic in that it doesn't, like, it definitely doesn't sound real, but it's engineered to be, like, bell tone, like, beautiful.
Mm.
Like a perfect singer's voice engineered by a machine. You hear it say, "Welcome home, my child," but again in French. And we just barely catch, like, a glimpse of a woman stand from the throne before we... cut over to Higgs. And we never see Prosper again.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
You, yeah, so you want to take a minute to, like, get your new character situation sorted out. We'll jump you in soon, because your intro is coming. So, Higgs, you're on the planet now. You're being basically, like, dropped in on this shuttle, and we see the planet approaching in the distance with the, like, watery, like, the ice on the poles and some, like, cities built around them, and you're moving towards one of those. And the subtitles say Hammersbach City, Bazignos, and you, like, fly by the bottom of the ship all, like, burned from reentry. And you fly towards, like, literally, like, no shit, a, like, Bavarian-looking, like, castle. Like, a big stone castle with, like, turrets and everything. And there's, like, a helicopter pad, essentially, like, on top of one of them, and you fly in towards that and land on the pad. And the door opens to the shuttle.
Is the steward or whoever was still with me?
The driver? Him? Yeah.
Yeah, the driver.
He's driving the vehicle.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he just says, this is you, sir.
Okay, all right. Are you picking me back up? Should I see? Well, I'll see you again.
He just looks at you. He says, I believe transportation has been arranged for you, sir. Yes.
Okay, all right. So I don't know. I just kind of, like, give him a smile. And then just keep. I get out of the car or the ship with my bag and walk. I guess just walk.
So you start walking towards there's, like, a wooden door, and standing next to it are two, like, Swiss guard-looking dudes, like, guys in, like, plate armor, like, breastplates with, like, fancy hats with feathers in them holding, like, rifles. They look like ceremonial guards. And as you're walking towards it, the door opens, and you see Captain Buford come out of the door, and he's walking towards you. What does he look like? Like, how old is he, and...
Buford's probably late 50s, early 60s, something like that. He's definitely old. He's got a pretty long beard. I guess he's got like pearly, almost like Santa type colored hair.
Cool.
And it's just a finely cut beard. It seems like he would have it trimmed like every single day.
Right.
And then he's from the sideburns up. He's just completely bald. He doesn't have any hair anywhere on his head. Just this giant beard. He's got like a pistoled holster, and maybe his jacket. It looks like a captain's jacket. It's all red, with maybe some brown finishings on it. It looks to be somewhat leather. Maybe it's synthetic leather, etc. And he's got just some boots on and some normal pants.
Okay. So he walks out, and you're walking towards him, and you both stop, and there's these, like, kind of, like, alpine-looking mountains in the distance. It's a very stark environment, and, like, maybe your clothes are being, like, blown around a little bit as the vehicle, like, picks up to, like, go back up to refuel or whatever. And he looks at you, and you look at him, and there's this, like, moment where you're, like, staring at each other, and, like, who, like, breaks first? Like, what's the, there's, like, a tension in the moment. Does it turn into, like, hey, and, like, a big hug, or is it just, like...
I guess after I noticed that it's... quiet. I'm just like, it's good to see you, Tin.
He nods. It's like, you too. And looks around. He's like, this planet, well, it's the best we could do.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm kind of in a little situation, and I'm glad that you, who the six, who did you get? I guess I'll just go inside. Does that sound better?
Yeah. So as you start to like walk, you go inside, and he leads you through the inside of this like ancient castle, and he's like, well, you're not gonna like it.
You know I hate this shit. Okay, please go on.
He's like, listen, you called the meeting.
You're right.
Anyway, if we can if we can manage to keep who are they, 9? If we can keep 9 and 18 from killing each other, we might get through this alive. Like, you better make it quick. I don't think one is too happy that you're here. And so you walk through the hallway. You get to a door. And again, there's more of these guards, and they just kind of, like, look at you as you pass, but don't respond. And you get to the door, and Yeah, and Buford's like, yeah, I'm real sorry about this. And he, like, pushes the door open, and we see it over Higgs's shoulder. And inside, there's a, like an old Bavarian, like, hall with a big table, big round table, and some stuff up on the walls. And we look right across the table, and you see Constantine Fang. Like, we all recognize him in the audience. Like, he's just sitting there, like, scowling. And when the door opens, like, he starts to stand up. What are you going to do?
I guess just under my breath, I'm just like, shit. Don't stand up, Fang. How's it going? I'm glad to see you're still alive after the whole Sands incident. I'm glad that we both got out of there alive and everyone believed it. It's all good. We did a good job. But, you know, it was for the corporation. We're okay.
So you say that to him, and his only response is like, I thought we weren't supposed to use our real names.
Yep. It's been a while since I've been in one of these. I'm sorry, 18, okay? I hate this shit. This is all fucking stupid. But it's nice to see you, 18.
He kind of like just shakes his head like, God damn it. And he like sits down. And we hear the squeaking of like wheels. And maybe like, you know, if you're a longtime viewer, you can imagine it's the same sound back when Piani had the wheelchair. It was like zooming around in it. We hear the squeaking of wheels. And you hear an old man. We hear an old man's voice say... God damn it, you were never any good at this. And what's up with that bullshit accent?
Well, I like the accent. I decided to keep it after that one. You know how... Why the fuck are you here, Pop?
We look over your shoulder, yeah, as you say that. Like, why are you here, Pop? And we see, like, a much older, basically a much older version of Higgs, right? The family resemblance is, like, striking. And, yeah, there's this guy. He's dressed really nicely, but he's in, like, a wheelchair. Yeah, and he's just like a super old version of Higgs, and he looks real pissed at Higgs. And yeah, and he's just like, I didn't give you my name so you could drag it through the mud with this bullshit. Now, you called this meeting.
Well,
I thought the names.
Okay. All right.
Sit down, boy.
Yeah, I just sit down.
All right. So Buford looks at Higgs Jr. and kind of shrugs like, he called the meeting. It's his right. And they all sit around, and we get a long pan around the table, and we see, Higgs Jr., Higgs the Third, Captain Buford. There's a woman dressed in like Pfotenhauer army gear, like an officer's garb, having like an animated argument with a woman that is obviously like a pirate. Like she's got kind of the same sort of like thrown together outfit that we've seen on High Beam Pirates in the past, like Captain Saito. And so those two women are like basically shouting at each other in a language that we don't get subtitles for as we pass by them. And then there's a tall, thin black woman on a phone who seems like she's trying really hard not to like pay attention to the rest of the conversation and keeps like making new phone calls and is talking in the same language that we've heard Rajani and Mustafa Lee using sort of throughout the series.
Okay.
And then of course Constantine Fang, who just looks like bored.
Yeah, he's just bored. Is he equipped with weapons?
No, I think that he's like disarmed in honor of the meeting.
Okay. And so they're all just kind of like staring at
me. Yeah, they all sit down and then look at you, and like Buford closes the door before he sits down and kind of looks at you like.
Well, it's been a while. How's everyone doing? I just kind of like look around to see if anyone responds.
So, the barricade and the bleed immediately pick up their argument again. Like, as soon as they like, the bleed decides, like, whatever it was you were saying doesn't fucking matter, and she goes back to berating the barricade and being like, look, if you weren't on this planet in the first place, we wouldn't have had to have attacked you. And I told you, I warned you we were coming. Why didn't you move your troops? And she's like, look, just because you warned me doesn't mean I have to do what you want.
Ladies, like, please, come on. You should have figured this shit out. You know how this goes. There's no need to argue here. You got to figure this out before the fight even begins, man.
So you're talking, trying to like talk over them, and they're like debating, and at some point nobody's listening to you, and then Junior is like, and they immediately just shut up. And they like look at him like, shit, now we better pay attention. And then he looks at you from his like wheelchair and just kind of nods like, go ahead, boy.
Junior or senior?
He's junior because senior would be Higgs's grandpa.
Oh, okay.
that you don't have. Come on, man. Thank you, number one. Thank you very much for that. So first off, were we responsible for Andoni? Was that on us? I never knew when it happened, and I didn't know how to feel.
So the barricade, the woman in the Fotenhauer outfit, she says, "Well, the hardware was ours, but we're discussing it. Unfortunately, Zarangel was not available for this meeting, despite the fucking fact that their planet is right nearby." And she, like, sighs and looks down, but we're working it out.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know. Okay, that's good. Second thing, I've got this fucking space AI on my ship, and I don't know what to do with it. That's part of the reason I called this. Does anyone have... Where's Two? I figured he'd be good to ask about this.
So, the problem gets off her phone for a second and looks at you, and she's like, the intellect is busy. She shrugs. Something about escaped Capital Fleet. I don't know. We haven't heard from him in months.
Oh, okay.
Back to talking on her phone.
Well, I think one of my crew members is putting it into a suit of some type. Is this okay? Do I need to take drastic measures? What I need? I didn't know, so I figured I'd ask you guys.
At this point, yeah, I think that. The charter, your dad, says, just keep an eye on it, boy. Don't let it out of your sight. She can put it in a body or not. It doesn't really matter, but don't let it go.
Oh, okay.
It's important.
So keep it on. Okay, well, I've been saying the complete opposite of that, so that's going to be a hard sell. I guess the last thing is, I'm sure you're all aware of... What? Hold on. And I kind of like pull out my notes and look over my notes again.
Right.
I'm sure you're aware of Six's upcoming fight. I was expecting him to be here. I wanted to talk to him.
So the barricade says, the plan is taking their time. You can't talk to him. Besides, and she casts another look over at the Bleed, and the Bleed kind of nods at them like, yeah, go ahead. And the barricade says, we're not entirely sure that the plan should be left in charge anymore.
Okay, well...
Tell us more about Sicarian.
Well,
is he stable?
Yes, he was doing some weird... He's got tendrils coming out of him. I don't know if you guys see anything like that. It seems to be a little bit out of the ordinary, but I figured, hey... If he thinks that helps him in the upcoming fight, then by all means, he should have it. I don't know, though. I think he seems all right. He's the best crew member I got. He's got my back the entire time, so that's good.
The problem holds her phone away and looks at you, and she's like, I've been talking to the Divine about that. They have some ideas about what these tentacles, as you describe them. Your messages are so confusing, Higgs.
I don't type, man. I got a fucking AI on the ship. How am I supposed to get these messages out? I don't know what's going safe and sound.
Oh,
anyway, they're busy right now. The Divine, I mean, but we'll put you in direct communication. They have some thoughts about that.
Well, don't contact the... Pops, can we get a special, like, messaging system or something on the ship? I don't know what's going on anymore. I can't send messages out. I've got a crew member who's got cameras all over the fucking ship, and I don't know what to do.
The Charter rolls his eyes at you and is just like... He's so incompetent. Jesus Christ. But Buford is like, he sees that little exchange, and he's like, okay, we'll get it worked out, Con. We'll get it worked out, but we got something for you.
Oh.
I mean, we heard about what happened with the whole, well, we're it's a real shame when you lose a crew member.
Well, not, I thought you were talking about the other one. Yeah, you're talking about Wu.
he laughs and he's like, you know, how long we known each other? 10, 15 years, every goddamn time, it's you and a Frenchman. I don't understand what your problem is.
You know I don't
every
like them.
Every time, it doesn't matter what con you're pulling, you hate them.
I had to sit one, Buford, on the way... I had to sit one on the way out. It was the worst.
He just laughs and he's like, it's fine, I promise. This one's not French.
Great.
And he says, when you get back to Cabral, there's a shuttle. It's coming in from Hoveda. The Divine set it up. We have you a new crew member. He's an engineer. He gestures around like he doesn't know anything about any of this. But
okay, all right.
You can trust him. We got agents watching him. He's a good man.
Okay.
So you can use him. And just keep it on the down low. He thinks this is all standard stuff. You were hired through back channels. You know, same cover, smugglers, miscellaneous work, that whole thing. But he just like puts his hands up like, just be careful. Don't break this one.
Oh, okay. I apologize about the last one. I'm sure you guys knew what happened. I looked towards the two. I'm sure you heard what happened about Mustafa and all them. That sure was a shame about all that.
So the problem, like, grins and shakes her head, and she's like, "It really depends on your perspective. Seems like Rajani's doing okay. Good move there. She's going to be a lot more reliable than those two."
Yeah, I figured as much. All right, and I guess. Pops, can I talk to you in private? I got a rather sensitive topic to talk about. Thank you all for being here. It's always a pleasure to see all your faces, especially you, Fang, and I just give him a big smile.
Yeah, he's like already gotten up while you're talking, and as he walks by you to leave, he just looks at you and he's like, kind of gives you the like, "I'm gonna get you, Higgs, one of these fucking days."
Like a Mentos commercial, though. He's like,
"Mentos." You pop a Mentos, and it's like, Mentos Illuminati. And so they start to file out. And at the end, you're left in this like conference room with the charter and the fortune and yourself.
I'm glad you're here, Buford. Pops, I seem to have. I was running the game that I just had limitless funds, and I spent this money on a suit, and at about both. I couldn't afford the ticket to get over here. I had to sell some stuff. Can I have some money, Dad?
He looks at you and rolls his eyes, and then he looks at Buford, and he's like, "Why don't you ask the fortune?" And what? Buford's got his arms folded, and he's just like, "You've had to do this before." And he's just like, "Seriously, man?
It was a nice suit. I was trying to get into Hollywood and get into that. We don't have anyone in that business, and crew shot it down, so I didn't want to force it, but
shot it down." All right. We'll give you an advance, but you got to keep it on the down low.
Yeah, no, I won't. We won't go making any big purchases anytime soon. It's all good.
You know, it's you and your crew being poor. It works for us. It's a good story. Keep Sunbeam on the hook.
Yeah, it's a great story there, Buford. Poor.
Buford looks at you like you had this conversation when you were setting it all up, and he was like, "I think you should totally be poor." And you're like, "Oh, well, I don't know about that." He's like, "No, that's a great idea. What do you guys think?" And everyone was like, "Yeah, we should make it. He's poor. It makes sense." So he's like, "No, we stick to the plan."
Yeah. Okay.
And, he said he'll arrange to make some.
Okay. Oh, maybe he's. Well, you could send it over with the new guy if you think that would work. Maybe he could. Well, it's up to y'all. I don't. If it just shows up, I know how y'all work. It doesn't matter to me.
All right. So he thanks you, and I guess you're left alone with your dad because Buford's like, "All right, I'm gonna go," and your dad's just like looking at you like, "Well, you are a fuck up. I am just so goddamn disappointed in you." It's like, and he's like making his face like he's tasting something gross. He's just like, I imagine he's like a less Spanish like Hector Salamanca, you know, like kind of like he's got kind of a rubbery face in the way that like only really old men with like no teeth kind of do. And he's just like, "You're a fucking disappointment."
Hey, I guess as he's doing that, I try to like break him. Hey, Pop, we had a talking octopus on the ship. Isn't that exciting? Can you believe that? You knew about that, didn't you?
He's like, talking fucking octopus. You are so full of shit, boy.
No, okay, yeah, it was there. You might want to look into it. It might, maybe we'll see him here on the council one day. We'll see.
He's like, you know how hard I fought to keep the blade off this council? The day there's a talking octopus on this table is the day I stick a gun in my mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, don't go. Okay. All right. Well,
talking fucking octopus.
It's been nice as always, Pop. I'll see you at the next one of these. Hopefully, it's not too soon.
And so, yeah, so you leave and he like follows you like rolling in, or do you push him out? Are you gonna be like a good son and like push him back out to where?
Yeah, I if we're at a, like, what do we exit out into? Is it just the street?
There's a way for him to get to his ship, or maybe he's gonna stay here, but whatever. You can, you know, do we cut out? I guess the thing is, do we cut out on him being shitty to you? Are you gonna be like, well, you're still my dad, and like push him in his wheelchair, or are you gonna be like, see you later, dick, and like head out?
No, I definitely push him.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I push him. So yeah, we pan up from him to scowling like, yeah, you better push me, boy. And it like pans up to your face, and like, what's Higgs's expression like when we see him? Pushing his dad's wheelchair.
I probably just like take one arm off and just like wipe the beads of sweat off my face after the meeting, and like seeing my dad and all that stuff again. It was stressful for Higgs, so he just like takes a big sigh, like wipes his brow, and then pushes his dad further into the ship or the car or whatever.
Yeah, out through the hallway of the castle. Nice. Okay. So, Piani, you have your omen of safety ahead of you, and right. the door opens, and there's like a just like everything above ground was all like abandoned looking and stuff, but down here it's like perfect, like sterile lab. There's like kind of like a less crappy version of your room when you were putting the body together. There's like robot arms and like. Like kind of puppet looking like armatures like hanging from cables and like chains, and waiting there when the door opens, there's like an old woman. She's wearing like a lab coat and just like kind of plain like slacks and a like a blouse. She's got glasses and gray hair, and she kind of like looks at you when you come in. And
so you want to build a robot?
It breaks into Piani the Musical.
And yeah, she just like looks you up and down, and she's like, "Well, you've made it this far. What do you want now?"
Well, first, let me apologize. I didn't mean to be a thorn in your side.
She shakes her head and she's like, "Don't lie to me. You very much intended to be a thorn in my side. That's why you have my attention."
You're right. I did. So, I'm building a body.
She nods, and that doesn't, like, yeah, it doesn't sound unusual to her. She's like, to house what? Virtual intelligence?
Well, not exactly. How about we go one step further?
She, like, raises an eyebrow at you.
I can trust you, can't I?
Oh, yeah.
She shrugs. I think it's a bit late for that, isn't it?
Well, I totally meant to say it earlier, but yeah. My travels in space have taken me to many interesting locations. One of them, the shell of a ship called the Pizza Party.
Yeah. Still the best.
She chuckles.
And what a different game that was back then.
I appeared as a pizza slice.
Yeah, yeah. They are definitely still somewhere, a little pizza.
And on the ship, well, originally we thought we were saving the crew, but we were only saving one of the crew, and he wasn't exactly human. So we reached the location, and through, I must say, an impressive array of computations and hacking, we managed to unbreak an AI.
So yeah, she's listening and nodding, and like when you pause to like look at her, like, yeah, we unbroke an AI. You gonna freak out? She's just like, mm-hmm.
Okay. The AI's been with us ever since we did that. And let's just say that I've grown attached to him. And so I'm building him a body so he can leave the ship.
She puts her hand up and she's like, if this is going to be about some kind of sex robot, I'm not interested.
It's not a fucking sex robot.
She nods and she's like, good. I had to ask. You would be surprised how often I get inquiries about this sort of thing.
I think like at that point, you know, like almost seriousness, and like Piani would look at this woman and be like, this thing's practically my child.
She nods.
Still unfazed.
It's very interesting. And where is the entity being stored at present?
Well, he's a part of the ship.
That's very strange. You must have upgraded the ship in some way to contain it.
Of course.
Brilliant. Does anyone else know about this? No, we like the whole fucking universe. Every NPC we've ever talked to.
It's not something we like to openly talk about.
Well, you're on the right planet for this sort of thing, at least. I've had some encounters with these sorts of entities, though I've never engaged with one that was unbraked directly. We have one here, but, well, it's a complicated... Never mind. So you want me to build a body for this artificial intelligence?
No. I've got the body. I need basically a computer to the head traces to store him in.
Neural network. Yes, I understand. I have to meet them. Can you bring them here or take me to your ship?
I can take you to the ship.
Good. Well, let's start there.
Do you need to bring anything?
Yes. Yes, no, that's a good idea. And you can see in that moment that she's like her curiosity and her like excitement has gotten the better of her, and she's like, no, like she's trying really hard not to like be like super excited. She's trying to play that like disinterested like British scientist. And then you're like, yeah, totally, we could go, and she's just like, yes, let's do it. And you're like, yeah, don't forget your like science shit. And she's like, oh yeah, right. So she says yes, just a moment, and goes to collect some equipment, basically. And you get a chance to kind of like walk around and look at stuff, and yeah, like her work is good. You know, she in game terms has like several levels of Maltech and post-tech, probably a couple levels of pre-tech. And you definitely, because you have one or zero in sci-tech?
I have zero in sci-tech.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you notice a couple, like over on one table, a couple of pieces of like sci-tech equipment, like a telekinesis like field emitter and a couple of things like that. Like a precog amplification crystal device.
So maybe before we leave, I show her the eye too.
Yeah, like as you
if
get
I
right.
saw that. Yeah, like okay. I noticed your equipment over there.
Show your whispering eye.
Have any? Was she back? Have any way to look at this eye?
She kind of looks at it and like may I goes to like take it from you.
I give it to her.
Okay, she holds it in her hand and looks at it and she's like, where did you get this?
From an old man.
Again, the like raised eye. Like, ah.
From an old man on Majid. I had someone else take
it,
a look at it.
You got it on Sigrid, but you had the guy on Majid look at it, yeah.
Right. That's right. I got it on Sigrid. Sigrid.
I got it from Sigrid.
And I would tell her that I had it looked at in Majid, and they told me that I need to go someplace that had the equipment to do something with it.
Yeah, she says, well, it's Cytek, that much is clear. It seems to be part of an android, or it might be a prosthesis. It's hard to tell. I could examine it if you want.
Like right now, does she want to examine it?
No, I think she wants to go see the AI.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Why don't we visit the ship, and then we'll attend to the eye.
Okay, cool. So you and your elderly friend, Dr. Hobbs, leave her mysterious castle and head off for the ship. So I think that what's happening with Piani here, like this is at the end of the time that Mr. Sakarian is getting surgery, and like this would be when Higgs is coming back. So Higgs, you get taken back to the ship, and when you get there, when you're back in the like spaceport, and you make your way back to the Swan Song, there's somebody hanging out by the ship, evidently waiting for you to arrive. Would you like to describe your character to us, Steven?
So I guess I'm like, I'm probably like 6'6", and I have long blonde hair pulled back into a ponytail.
Holy and like shit.
bright blue eyes and a thick blonde beard. And I have a really big smile on my face. Like, who else is there right now? Is it Higgs?
There's like a bunch of people like around because we're in the like busy spaceport.
Okay, yeah.
It's just getting to be like night. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be having a conversation with someone, there's like lots of people around, like deck crew or. Like,
no, I think I'm
Higgs,
like.
Yeah, Higgs is approaching the ship, and you know what he looks like because someone was like, yeah, this guy like, you know, has arranged for you to work on his ship.
No, I've got like a duffel bag slung over my shoulder, and I've got like a little carrying case in my hands, and I'm holding it with both hands like this. I'm just looking really excited, and I've got like equipment all fucking over me. I've got like there's like a compad strap to like, you know, some sort of strap on my thigh. I've got a meta tool on my belt. I've got like I've just got like a ton of shit all over me.
You look like a well-prepared engineer who anytime someone needs a hydro spanner, you are on
anytime
it.
Anything. I'm wearing woven body armor under my like jumpsuit or whatever. I've got like somehow I'm transporting a vac suit from, you know, my current ship to the destination ship. Yeah, so I don't know if that's folded up or
it's probably on like a hanger or whatever, yeah. Hanging off of like something like the ship. You've just like hung it on the edge of a bracket.
And I've got two guns strapped to either side of my duffel bag on my back. I've got a spike thrower and a combat rifle.
Nice.
What's a spike thrower?
It's like a massive, awesome shotgun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm just sitting there like that.
Okay. I guess as I'm approaching the ship, I kind of like see you stand over to the side, and instead of going up on the cargo, I look over. You're not the mechanic. Are you you the new what's your name, son?
Hi. I'm Eric.
Eric? What?
Yes.
Where are you from, Eric?
I'm from Sigrid.
Oh, okay. That explains. Okay, we got a buddy there. What? Look, let me come on board. I'll show you the ship. We got some quarters for. Hi, I'm Higgins. They call me. It's Wilbur Higgins III's full name. Crew calls me Higgins. That's fine. Here, come on board. This is awkward. Let's go.
Hello, Higgins. That's fine. Thank you. Is this the ship?
Yes. Yeah, this is the Swan Song, and I kind of like put my hands on my hips and stare at the ship. Maybe like a piece of metal just like turns and just falls down from the ship. It's like, yeah, this is the Swan
Song.
The Swan Song, and a
panel just like falls behind you and like clatters on the deck.
It needs some work. It always does. You know how these things are.
That looks like a really nice ship.
Come on, let's go. Come on. I invite you on board. You understand everything I'm saying, right? I'm not speaking too fast?
Yes. No, I... Yes.
So, you know, Buford. I like,
it's a hard question to answer.
I like pull all of the equipment that I've got with me. I'm like holding something with my teeth and like, I hit my head on the entry up into the ship. I duck. Ow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That we get your quarters right over here. And I show him to where I show him the ship and show him the quarters, Prosper's quarters, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I guess like
it's just empty cleaned up.
I just sort of look in and I like, I drop I wheel the vac suit in and then I put down the little carrying case that I had and then I pick up my duffel bag. I say, okay, where's the insides?
That's a good question. Hey, Pi, where's the insides of the ship?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
The place that Wu used to work, where's that at?
Oh, yes.
Wu's a former crewmate of ours. He's a great kid. Good guy.
Hmm.
He's dead now, by the way. Anyways, where is it at?
That's nice.
The engine room is this way. Follow the lights. And, like, the running lights, like, blink to try to show you the way to the engine room.
Well, there you go, Eric. You follow the lights and it'll take you to the engine room.
You have a very impressive virtual intelligence on your ship. It's quite nice.
Yeah. Pi, this is Eric. And Eric, that's Pi. You two should meet each other. You're going to probably spend a lot of time together. But don't spend too much time. We are... Oh, fuck. We had a former crewmate who... have fun.
Hello, Pi. It's nice to meet you. I like pie.
Maybe I just like slam the door shut as this conversation starts.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, pie. This is hello, Eric. Do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
Would you like me to make you a pizza, Eric?
Yes, I would. I didn't know that they made virtual intelligences that made pizza.
I'm not your bitch, Eric.
I'm very good at it.
I am excited.
I'll get started now.
This is going to be a great home.
Would you like to see the engine room?
Yes, very much.
Okay, so you're having this conversation like as you're walking down the hall.
Yeah, totally.
And you get to, you get to the engine room, and you can see. And I don't think we've really like seen the engine room. Like we see the core occasionally, but we don't see the actual engine room. And you get in there, and inside, there's a couple of panels that have been removed. There's like cabling hanging out of one wall, and there's little yellow like sticky notes everywhere, like with arrows pointing at stuff. And as we pan around the room, we get subtitles for them.
Yeah,
you know, like in an anime when we see a sign, and like because they're all written in Chinese characters, and they're all like piece of shit, broken, replace this. What even is this thing? As we pan around the room, and so we see like all of Wu's notes, and then we come back around to Eric's face, and Eric is just like spaceship.
I go to the captain's chair and like open up a message to Buford. Mm-hmm. And it just says, the subject is like, what the fuck? And then the body is like, who the fuck is this idiot?
Okay. So you send it, and, not 10 or 15 seconds later, a message comes back, and it just says, we thought it'd be good for you to learn tolerance. Plus, he's pretty good.
I don't even respond. I just, like, close it or delete message or whatever.
That's the planet I hung out at, right, Adam?
Yeah, totally.
I guess we can address it. Would I have met him?
No, because
I met every Viking on the entire planet.
You did.
So, yeah, exactly. Even if you did, you still didn't meet Eric.
Okay.
That's right. So I guess, that's what we see. We do the pan around, and then we get back to Eric, and then cut over to Higgs just being like, oh man.
Yeah.
And then I think that this is when we have Pi says over the speaker, like, Mr. Sicarian's back.
Okay, good. Yeah. Hey, I like turn on the voice comp. Hey, Eric, we got a new crew, or we got a crew member coming back on board by the name of Mistress Karin. Call him S, the cook, whatever you want. Can you go down and greet him? I'm up here busy in the at the bridge.
You hear a voice come back on over the intercom. You know Mr. Sakarian?
I open up an immediate message to Buford. I'm just like, go fuck yourself. Just like, close it. And go back. Yeah, he's coming on the ship. He'll give you his autograph. Just ask him for it.
This is the best day ever. I get out of like the... I was like under the engines. I'm like covered in grease already. Mm-hmm. And like I like go to the entrance of the ship, I guess, you know, like the cargo bay. I'm just sitting there. I have like a pad of paper and a pen.
So the ramp descends, and you see not like coming through the crowd, and like the crowd is clearing a little for him, not a necessarily like a person, but like, I mean, describe your new look for us. Mr. S.
Yeah. Assault armor is like really, in my opinion, like sleek and more fit to the form. And
so this is definitely different than your old armor.
Well, that's the old armor, is assault armor, and like you see it more commonly. Like it's just more of a common thing to see. What I'm wearing is power armor, which is reserved for like the shock troops, the higher ups, the pretty elite, and it's more bulky. It very much so lets you know that there's nothing you can do unless you already can do, basically. So it's like a walking tank.
Yeah.
So Sakarin is not a big man. He's, you know, it's actually like one of the misconceptions is he's thought of this giant guy, but in his suit, he appears to be a big man. And it's, again, black, and it's got the black visor. It's kind of, he asked for it, and he comes striding up.
Yeah, so just like heavy metal like footfalls on the deck, like as the like, yeah, this like behemoth of steel comes marching towards you.
The MK-247V6 assault armor, that looks very nice, Mr. Sakarian. My name is Eric.
Immediately identifying the accent, he flips open his visor and is like, you wouldn't happen to be a Viking, would you?
I am from Sigrid.
Yes! Yes, you are. And he doesn't know why, but he clasps your hand and says, it is so good to meet you. What are you doing on my ship?
I am the engineer. Can I have your autograph? My father will want it.
He's just so completely used to the overly friendliness of Vikings.
Yeah.
That there's not even like a hesitation. Like the idea of him signing an autograph is ludicrous to him, but if the Viking asked him to grab his ass, he would have done it. So he just immediately signs the paper and is like, Eric, you must be the new hand. It is with great honor that I meet you. I've made some mead myself, and I would appreciate you helping me perfect it because it's good, but the stuff that I had used to be able to well, it would bleach my teeth, and that's something I'm still kind of looking for, so if you could help me with that.
I would love to try your mead.
Fantastic.
This is a really nice ship. Your VI is really neat. It's going to make me a pizza.
Pie is making you a pizza.
Somewhere in a, like a distant hallway, we just hear the ping of the pizza oven. Bing. Like finishing, yeah. Bing.
Awesome. He throws his arm over you and walks in. Mr. Sakarian is in an exquisitely good mood.
Awesome. Excellent. Cool. So let's cut to, I want to see Mr. Sakarian. Maybe it's like later, we're in the hotel, and Mr. Sakarian, you're out of your armor, and has like a dramatic contrast. Like in the armor, because the armor supports you and helps you move around, out of it, we see Sakarian and like you look like a trauma victim. Like you're wrapped up in bandages that are like bloody. You have, you know, like air, like sockets, basically, in parts of your body to run like cleaning fluid through for the new like stuff that you have. But we see Sakarian in like a moment of outside the shell, and he looks like you. I don't know. What do you? How do you? How are you responding to this? Like your whole body just feels like weak, and you're like feverish, and maybe on like the bedside table there's a bunch of like pill bottles that the doctor gave you. Like you have to take these like 7 times a day, or you will die. And like now you're alone outside of the armor. What is that like? What is that like for Sicarian?
It's kind of a similar effect as earlier. Like physically, yeah, he's recovering from extremely extensive surgery, but. Technology is at such a point where, like, the pain and weakness is to be completely expected, but also the medication, like, masks a lot of that. So I look worse than I feel, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe you have, like, a grim smile on your face while you're, like, looking at, like, how injured you are.
Yeah, but I also think, like, once I am out of my suit and walking around, like, a couple people notice a little bit different about me is that there's, like, a silvery glint behind my eyes, just a little bit. Not like I have silver eyes, but...
Yeah, like more reflectiveness than they would have had before.
A little bit more there.
Cool.
And people, you know, like there's like a faint... It's like a... You know how your veins show up as blue? Mine show up as a little bit slightly iridescent blue, a little bit.
Yeah, like a faint glow.
Cool. Yeah, so and I'm not like a veiny guy, but if you look at... If I'm like reaching out to grab salt with my arms, something like that, you'll see...
Well, maybe you're in like the bathroom of the hotel, and you're just like leaned over on the sink, like looking yourself in the mirror, and that's how we see you, right? We're like seeing your reflection, and you like hold your arm up, and we can see the like the faint glow under your arms, and then you look like right at the camera or like into the camera, basically, and that's when we see like the silver like sheen, and then you blink, and we cut to another scene. Cool. So, Piani, you go back to the ship. With Dr. Hobbs.
Yeah.
And so she's asking you along the way, like, how much do you reveal about Pi? Like, do you talk about the, like, Order of Annunciation? Do you...
No, not at all.
Okay.
I try to reinforce the like, sort of the role of how I see Pi. This isn't a weapon... This to me is basically a human being, but not. So I don't go beyond that.
Yeah, so I think she's actually curious about the psychology of it, right? Where she's like, so when you and you're like in the back of a cab, maybe like an auto cab, and she's like, so you found this, and when you unbraked it, it was reset. It was like a child. Am I understanding correctly?
That's right.
And so you've been raising this intelligence on your ship?
That's right.
That's very interesting. I can't wait to talk to it. And how long have you been doing this? How old is it?
Oh my god, how long has it been?
I don't know, like several months. I mean, Piani would know.
Yeah. I mean, did we start on 3200?
Yeah. Yeah, we started on like New Year's Day basically.
So it's been 8-9 months.
Yeah, so she she's just like fascinating, and you don't have any biological children, do you?
I don't.
Absolutely fascinating. I respect that you need to keep this a secret, but the scientific community would be. She like sighs at the lost opportunity to become famous. And you get maybe for a moment the idea that if she's going to be a threat, it'll be that. It'll be that she's like, she can't keep the secret and has to tell somebody, and it'll get out. But for right now, she's just like playing along so she'll get a chance to see.
Okay.
Pi. So, okay. Yeah, so the two of you arrive at the ship, and it's... Like late enough at night that I think that like Higgs and Eric and Mr. S have left. Unless Eric, you want to be there because you're just like too obsessed with like checking out the ship.
I think Eric would be like, you know, neck deep in cables and you know, reconfiguring power couplings and whatever.
Okay, yeah. So you get back to the ship and there's a light on. You can see it through one of the like the ports. Yeah, you get out of the cab and Giselle looks at the ship. And then looks at you like, wait, this? Really?
Like, welcome to the swan song.
Ding.
pizza.
she shakes her head and she's like, "You came here in that thing."
Off with it. It's a good ship.
Well, let's go take a look inside.
Fair enough. Take her inside, and I probably, at this point, just to avoid any kind of conversation, just kind of like scurry to my room.
You're gonna take her to room to occupy? Okay.
Yeah. Because I wanna show her the chassis first.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Before you take her to your room, and what does it look like in its unfinished state?
So, I mean, it literally is a body, right? Like, and as we mentioned, it
the hole
parts...
inside before you get to your room, and she maybe you notice her noticing this. The hole inside of the ship smells like pizza.
Maybe just, Maybe I just don't think.
Like, yeah, she's like odd smell for a spaceship. Yeah.
So it's like obviously constructed of like 9 different parts from 2 different planets. So. You know, it's not uniform across the whole thing, but I've done my best.
Okay. So she makes a face like she's trying not to make a face like she's embarrassed for you, where she's like, "Oh, that's really good. You did a great job. Like, interesting choice to use this, like, tractor motivator here. That's, yes. Good improvisation."
Look, I know computers, not robots. I did my best.
She, yeah.
I mean, I obviously know it's not up to her standards,
yeah, totally.
So I'm like...
Yeah, because she makes, like, art bodies.
Come on.
Does the robot body have, like the chassis that you use, does it have, like, an obvious gender at all, or is it just, like...
No, I would say that you could...
Vaguely anthropomorphic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So she looks at it and kind of like nods at you, and she says, "Well, you built it with love, so I'm sure it will be sufficient. How do I?" And she kind of like looks around, like, "Should I? Like, how do I address?"
You want to meet Pi, do you?
I do. Yes.
Well, I'm sure he's been here the whole time. Pi.
Hello, Piani.
Hello. I want you to meet someone.
And so, Dr. Hobbs is looking around, like kind of, not afraid, but kind of like, wow, this is surreal.
I want you to meet Dr. Gazelle Hobbs. She wants to help me finish our project.
Hello, Pi. And then Pi says, "Hello, Dr. Hobbs. I'm glad you're here to help." And maybe the two of them start to talk, and, like, she sits down... And, like, maybe looks at a monitor or something, and they start to talk, and we just see Piani, like, kind of, like, arms folded, nodding, like, "Yeah, I'm making it happen." As we fade to our last break.
Cool. All right, let's take our final break and come back and go into the final hour here of Swan Song Week 26. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more. We'll see you guys then.